Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To find out more about who we are and to support the work that we're doing, go to neighborhood.love. Have a good and beautiful day, friends.
All right. We are talking about happiness today because it's been a week, right? With the smoke, and it's like you know, David J., that I'm a really good pastor because I've only maybe smoked two cigarettes in my entire life, all right? So that makes me quite holy and sacred, and if you don't know me, I'm joking, all right? I've smoked so many cigarettes. No, I'm joking. But it felt like I was smoking, right, all week long, and I had a friend named Mike Cockett, and he lives in Omaha, and he's like, it feels like an A24 movie preview. And he showed it. It was like these cars going on the highway. I'm like, it feels kind of dystopian, right? And it kind of threw me off a little bit. And it triggered some COVID stuff, right? Like, did anyone else have that? Like, should I go outside? Can I go outside? Am I allowed to go outside? All right. Will Joe Biden take my truck if I go outside? All right. And then talk to other people who, like, are outside. I went golfing on Wednesday. Oh, good for you, right? And I was kind of hoping someone else would make the decision. The golf course wouldn't be open, so I didn't have to make the decision, right? Like it felt similar to, like, COVID, and I had a little bit of some feelings, and then I thought, well, summer's supposed to be happy, right? Happy is what summer is, and instead I'm thinking about my lungs. I'm thinking about, is this how it's going to be for my kids, and maybe if I have grandkids, what new world are we entering into? And I thought, oh, man, maybe we should talk about happiness on Sunday. And so today, we're talking about happiness. Now, next Sunday, because whatever I'm doing is just like in volleyball, you do like the bump and the set and the spike. Because next Sunday, Mike Valdez is speaking right there. Don't do this to me, Mike. Yeah, and then after that, Fester speaking the weekend after that. Oh, that's so good. This is called an on-air production meeting is what we call that, right? What am I talking about? Happiness, all right? So happiness, all right? Now, to start things off, today we're going to be doing a little bit more of like crowd work, right? We're going to be doing like some give and take, some feedback. And if you're an introvert here, do not worry. We're not going to make you talk. Yet, all right? So, I'm joking, all right? But I thought, like, I would like to hear from you guys. When you think of happiness, right, can you tell me a time when you felt happy? It could be profound. It could be that you saw a cool bug on the way to church. When you think of, like, happiness in your life, what things come to mind? A delicious sandwich you ate. What kind of sandwich? So many sandwiches to choose from. Okay, can you, any delicious sandwich, okay? Did you make it or someone else make it? Yes. It's the only answer. Yep. They make by far the best sandwich. And if you work here at another sandwich place, I'll lie to you and say yours are good too. All right, so, but that one is really good. All right, you said, when you think about happiness, you said something. Scuba diving. What is it with scuba diving? Or snorkeling? You're in a different world. It's deep breathing of scuba diving. Okay? I like that. Anyone else? When you think of happiness, hearing loons at the end of a dock at a cabin in nature, yep, and like 18 grandkids all yelling, Grandy, Grandy. Yes. Okay? I've been on this dock with my mother, right? Okay, who else? When you think of happiness? I don't know what you're talking about. Your dad sounds like a really cool guy. You've never beat me in pool. I'm like, wait, we've only played like a handful of times. Okay, it's okay. Yes, Max is behind you, yes. Sitting by the fire when there's no mosquitoes. I like that, okay? All right. Do you guys hear that they're making drones to kill mosquitoes? They don't live. You pay for those drones. Okay. Okay. Someone else raised their hand. I missed it. Paul. Beach in Mexico. All right. What about the beach in Mexico brings happiness? Everything. There's nothing that brings that vibe down. Awesome. Okay, I remember when my wife and I went to Mexico for the first time, and we went to all-inclusive, and we're sitting, and we're like, do you think the blenders work? It was like 10 a.m. Do you think the blenders would work? And I was like, brrr. We're like, oh, there's people here like us, all right? Okay, Brandy? Oh, I didn't know where this was going to end. You're like, coming home to an unconditional love. I'm like, uh-oh. To the pet, yes. Yes, and what is it about that that makes you feel happy? Yeah. I love that. Okay. Top shelf. Oh. You know what? I agree. That is the best. That is happiness, right? Or how about this one? Eating pizza with your partner before your kids get home, and you eat all of it before they get home. That's even better. It's like, you're like looking out the door like, eat, hurry. Okay, not that I've done that. Because, say again? Yeah, one of those kids that did not get the pizza, yes. I'm well aware, okay? Exploring San Diego. What about exploring San Diego made you happy? Okay. Yeah. You sound like a hipster, is what you sound like. We avoided the large areas where everyone else goes. We found little niche places. Yeah, okay. I like that. Anyone else? What do you think about happiness? Snuggling with the grandkids. Yes, I saw on social media that you had a lot of them for a long time. Yes. Okay. Okay, different question then. So there's happiness. Then what about joy? When you think about joy, is it different memories? Is it a different part of your brain that fires up? When you think about a time where you experienced joy, can you name that? Birth of what baby? What baby? Just me. That's right. That's right. You hear that, Dano? That's right. I hope you're watching. All right. That's my brother. No one really likes him, so... Okay, joy. Yeah. That was a great description of birth dad. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's really great. That's equal to being on a beach in Mexico, I think, that Paul would equally, yeah, it's like the, I know what that's like, right? Okay, joy. Yeah. Okay, so seeing your children find contentment and peace. So you feel joy when your kids are kind of thriving.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's really good. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay, I like that. Okay, anyone else when you think of joy? Coming back to church, okay? After, okay, well, that's awesome. I remember when you first came. Yeah, that's great. I agree. Tony. Yeah. It's good. I like that, right? See, you haven't felt joy for a very long time, so you're trying to tell me, yes. Yeah, that's true, all right? So... it's true. Like, happiness and joy can feel very similar, but they're also wildly different. All right, so happiness is like something that where it can move up and down on a regular basis, right? Happiness can be, you step outside and you see the sun. And there's like, go back to the smoke of when I was driving, all of a sudden I'm like, I think the smoke's gone. Well, mostly gone, right? And I felt some happiness because the weather made me feel good. Happiness can be watching my favorite sports team, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, right? Sky Yamal row the boat. So I love watching that football team knowing we're never going to be relevant. But that's as long as we beat Wisconsin, I don't care, right? That is happiness. Happiness is being able to hear a comedian and laugh for a little bit, right? But then joy is something different. Joy is like when you, for me, is when I'm connected to something. Joy is not this fleeting thing that goes always up and down. Joy is something that like sustains me through like larger parts of my life. I heard this pastor, I won't say their name, because I used to be a fan, now not a fan, but anyways. But he said this a long time ago, and it didn't make sense till a little while ago. And he said, happiness is like walking the room and you're like inches off the ground. You feel like you're kind of like float into the room and you just feel elevated. Joy is the idea of where you are soaring above life, where you feel like you're elevated over something. You could take it all in, and it's not moved by the good, the bad, or the different. It's just a state of being. And I even use it in a message a long, long, long time ago, and I'm like, that sounds good. And now I'm like, oh, as I'm a little bit older, I'm like, oh, I feel that, because I'm a big fan of happiness, right? I am pro-happiness more than I'm anti-happiness. But it's happiness is something I feel like I was chasing. Like, I would experience, I'm like, oh, this is what a good life is to be happy, 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 happy. And so being around, like, friends and large groups of people and feeling like I am achieving in my job and watching my kids succeed and being connected to Nikki and all these other things made me feel really, really happy. But then when hard things hit, happiness can dissipate, right? And I didn't feel as connected. And now as I've gotten a little bit older, I'm like, oh, happiness is going to be very fluid, but what I'm connected to is going to bring me joy or rob me of joy, right? And what we're going to read is Jesus speaking this. Jesus speaks this a lot. In fact, what we're going to be reading about joy versus happiness, joy and contentment, right, is in most major, most just religious writings, like from Taoism to the path to Baha'i to Buddhism to Latter-day Saints, right, to Catholicism, to all these different expressions of Christianity and different religions, this is almost like a universal truth of what brings you true joy. And happiness doesn't always lead to that true joy. So what we're going to do is we're going to read John 15, which is like one of Jesus' like banger of passages, right? And it's 18 verses long, so I'm going to read a lot of the Bible so we can meet our monthly quota of using the Bible, all right? It's just a joke, right? And then I'm going to give a little bit of commentary on it, and then we're going to ask one follow-up question. We're going to process it. I'm going to read a poem, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to be done. So what I want you to think about as I read this is listen to the reoccurring theme that Jesus uses over and over and over again. I'm reading out of the Message translation, which is like Eugene Peterson helped write it, and it's just like a hip with it and wow way of reading the Bible. And so here's John 15, 1 through 17, not 18. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it'll bear even more. You will already prune back by the message I've spoken to you. Live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you cannot bear fruit unless you are joined to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Verse 9. I have loved you the way my Father has loved me, so make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That is what I've done, kept my Father's command and make myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I've loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You're my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants do not understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends, and I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that will not spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. That is a banger. Jesus goes into like repeating himself multiple times to get this point across of saying, this is what joy and abundance and life looks like, being connected to the kingdom, the universe, love, God, spirit, whatever word you want to use in it. He's saying, whatever you are connected to is what the fruit you're going to produce. If you want joy and joy that is complete, you want a love that is intimate and organic, you have to be connected. You have to be connected to something bigger than yourself, which is wildly different than just happiness. Because where he starts is saying, if in the same way that a good gardener wants to have like a flourishing fruit tree, you don't just take seeds and throw in the front yard and then just like hope that something grows from it, right? You have to take care of it. You have to mature it. You have to be close with it. You have to be aware of it. And you have to prune it back, right? Like, I am not the gardener in the family in any shape, way, or form, right? That my wife loves working the garden and the trees. And I think her favorite thing to do in the entire world is cut trees down. She does, right? And Weaver knows this about her. She, like, will walk in other people's houses or their yards, look around, and be like, that tree's dead. That's going to die in 3 years. And I'm like, is this what you think when you look at me? You're like, ah, Chris has got a good decade left in him, right? She loves to tear it down because she understands the only way for it to really grow is you have to pare it back. And what Jesus is talking about here, bearing good fruit, of having this abundant life, of having a joy that is complete, is not without pain. It's not without boredom. It's not without trauma. It is real life, and real life can bear really good fruit if you are connected to something that's larger than yourself. And what kind of fruit do you really want? Like, I just had a great conversation with someone this week on, we were talking about, like, what things from evangelicalism do you still carry with you that you still hold on to after you deconstructed your faith? And they said they still really hold on to, look at the fruit of the lives in yourself, but also the people around you. Of the whole idea of, like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? Something my youth pastor told me when I was 13 years old is the things that are being produced in the lives of the people around you, is that what you want to replicate? Is this how you want to be known? Is this how you want to be associated? Is this the kind of things that you've said, these are my friends, these are my people, these are the things I want to accomplish, this is one of, like, how I want to be known or associated with? Like, there's all different kinds of fruit and all different kinds of people. And I really believe it takes all kinds of kinds, right? So God, what Jesus is saying is, the things you're connected to is going to produce the fruit. What kind of fruit do you have in your life? Do you like the fruit that's coming out of your life? Are you content with the things that you're saying, that you're consuming, that you're doing, that you're thinking about, that keeps you anxious? Are you content with the trajectory of your life? And I imagine in this room right now, we have a mixed bag of things, and all of it belongs. Because Jesus isn't saying, if you're not, like, maxing out your Roth IRA every year, then, oh, I almost said some words, right? Then what is wrong with you? He's not saying, if you don't have more than 10 best friends, then something's wrong with you. If you don't have a best friend, something's wrong with you. Jesus doesn't put any qualifiers on it. It is this idea of abundance and love and joy, which is quite different than just happiness or success. Because when Jesus speaks about abundance and being connected to the source and the good fruit, what my mind goes to is this trap of, like, I will be content and I will have joy when I have a surplus of something, right? So, like, I share your sentiment. When my kids do well, I feel a lot of joy. But what about when my kids aren't doing well, right? Does that mean then I don't have joy, right? And it's like, well, my kids are doing super, super, super well. Therefore, I can find, now I can rest because I have contentment, because I have enough joy. And it doesn't, for me, it doesn't always work that way, because I feel like I need to over control, or I have to be on the grind, or I have to have this. For me, it's usually tied to some sort of money. If we have enough in our savings account or enough in here, then finally I can relax, right? And how much is enough? Just a little bit more, right? And it's true, no matter how much I've ever made or how much we've ever saved or any of that, I always think, oh, I'm going to feel differently. And I feel differently for like 5 minutes. Then I'm like, oh, I should probably go get back on that grind. Because there's something that makes me feel I'm only okay if I have enough. In Luke 10, I believe, Jesus sends out his disciples. They go and do all these things. And they're like high-fiving each other after, like, we were casting out demons. Right, we were healing the sick, and they're like chest bumping, right? They're doing all those things. And Jesus is like, hey, big fan of all the things that you did in my name. But Jesus gives them just like a vibe check, right? He's like, but you're making it like, because you went and produced, therefore you're good. Because you went out and, like, quote unquote, killed it, and you succeeded in what you deemed what you need to do, you did, therefore you're good. And he's like, then you've missed the whole point, because you were good before you went out. It's not about achievement. It's not about proving to other people that you're worth love or acceptance. It is about abiding. It is about contentment. It is about finding true joy. It's not this roller coaster of emotions. Am I good with my friends? Am I good with my family? Am I good at my job? It's trusting that I'm enough. That I'm enough for God, and God's enough for me. And am I okay in this space? I can tell you that I am no expert at this. When I was talking to an empty church yesterday about this, or I'm like, I don't want to come across like I am in no shape or form an expert on it. I've just recently found a pocket, and it might be gone next month. But recently, I just feel like I'm in this space of where contentment and joy have never felt closer. Because I can tell you that my life compared to 10 years ago, like if you would have told, I'm 45 years old, if you would have told 35-year-old Chris, hey, Chris, in 10 years, in the middle of summer, you're going to go to bed at 9:30 almost every night. Right? I've been like, what is wrong with you, Chris? You can rewatch the show 24, right? You can like go up with your friends and do all these things, and you could stay out till 2 in the morning, right? If you would have told 35-year-old Chris that your favorite part of the day is coming home and seeing your kids and your dog and my wife, she's a part of that, right? I've been, yeah, that's cute, but I've been like, but the best part would have been if you're gonna go out to this bar, you're gonna go out, and it was all about this happiness that I was, and I really did feel happy. But it was all about happiness was my goal. And now my goal is I want to come home and I'm okay being bored. I love getting up early and I put on country music. Right, Max? Max is like, I put it on early and I love to dance. And I love to sing at 6:30 in the morning, right? Mainly just to get my 15-year-old daughter to walk out of her room to look at me like, are you doing this again? I'm like, yes, I am. Pop it and lock it, right? And you could not have convinced me that this would be the best life I could ever live, right? And it might seem boring or contrite to other people. I've never felt more joy in my life because I, in this moment, feel super connected to what's most important to me. Right? Even like my golf partner in the back, right? I was just telling Weaver of like, I love golf. I am very competitive and I'm just not good. I've gotten worse. And I used to get really angry and now I'm just like, yeah, I just, I'm outside with one of my best friends, right? I'm walking around. I get to see my dad. I get to yell at Jorma and Sean, right? They actually yell at me, all right? And that is enough for me. If my score's up or my score's down, I care, but I don't care as much because I feel deeply, deeply connected to what is the most important things in my life. And that's enough. So my question to you is this. How do you know you are connected to whatever it is you feel connected to, something larger than yourself? As you're thinking, I'm going to dispel some myths. Because 10 years ago, 35-year-old Chris would have said, how do you know you're connected to God? I'd be like, I can prove it to you. Right, Sharing, I'll prove it to you that I'm connected to God. He said, I would point it at you too. It'd be like, oh, I read my Bible every day, right? I pray for 20 minutes every day. Boom, did it, right? Connected, right? It was, being connected was like a test. It was like a chore that I had to do that I really enjoyed at the time. I do read my Bible. I do not read it every day. I do pray, but it's very mystical. It's wildly different than closing my eyes and folding my hands like I used to, right? What spirituality looks like for me and how I feel connected. 10 years ago, Chris, 25-year-old Chris would have dropped me, right? But I've never felt more connected because I found ways that are mystical, that are interreligious, right? That are from mystics and shaman to Christians to European theologians to womenist theologians. And so I would like to hear, how can you tell, how do you sense that you are connected? Does anybody like to share? So when you feel that, do you mind if I ask a follow-up question? When you feel that connectedness, you said you feel like a calmness come over you. Is that something that you can sense that is happening, or do you sense that it happened minutes or days or months previously? You can feel it in the moment. And is that a positive feeling for you? Okay, awesome. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Getting annoyed by drivers, yeah.
And then I'll laugh about it. I can touch my heart and change my thoughts.
Okay. Totally. Yeah. So Dana was sharing that when she's driving to work and drivers annoy her, right? I think I'm wrapping this up, that she put her hand on her chest or her heart, and instead of having to run to the bathroom to say the serenity prayer, you can remind yourself in any situation. And when you put your hand on your heart, what makes you feel connected? Oh, that's beautiful. 100%. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll They'll get a wave with one finger. Yeah, I know that wave. I'm not flicking off. It's just less fingers. So just in case you didn't hear that, to summarize, I asked, why do you put your hand in your heart? What does it do? And Dana said that it moves from her brain, where you're thinking about all the things you have to do or be, to just being it. Am I catching that? Yeah. And that she used to flick people off. Your friend, your God right there. I love that. Sarah. Ooh. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Sarah was saying that she has two practices she uses to feel connected. And one of them is, and she developed these images or these practices over time. One is that she raises her hand and visualizes God grabbing their hand. And the other one I already spaced, laying on the lap of God. And that's a practice. I love that, of like a visualization that you do over and over to feel connected, remind yourself that you're connected, to prompt that, okay? Carrie. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. That she, Carrie, breathes in and exhales as a way of feeling and reminding you're connected. Anyone else like to share? And again, I want to just remind of, like, being connected can be something, does not have to be connected just to a version of God, right? Because to me, God is universal, infinitely wide, and expansive. So I don't want to limit of, like, I feel connected to the earth, or I feel connected to my pet, or I feel connected to my body. To me, connectedness is connectedness. Okay, let's hear it, Mike. Yeah. Yeah.
You can feel that, right? You can feel, and so the better word to say would be like when you're being genuine, or when you're being true to yourself, or true to God. When you're being true to yourself, you're being true to God. If you're being true to God, you're true to yourself, in my opinion.
Jesus would agree with that. Okay. That's John 15. Yeah. We just read it. Sorry, keep going. Stop. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Richard Rohr used to say, if everything is connected, then we all have belonging with all things more than we ever thought possible. He was not with the apostles. No, he was. Thank you for sharing, Mike. I agree with the idea of like, if the whole house, if the whole earth or all universe is God's home, then we're always in the living room, right? We're always at home. And so I feel when I feel connected, I feel connected to all things. And that is, I'm not always there, but when I'm conscious of that, it's the best. Does anyone else like to share of how you know you're connected? Sherry. Yeah. I love that. You're not always conscious of when you're in that pocket of connectedness because you're just in the flow. Yep. Yeah. And the difference between being aware of ourselves, like the ego side, right, which is not always the best side, but then just being who you are and moving in that, I mean, that's, we could spend a lot of time talking about how do you put the ego down. I love that. You're not always conscious of when you're in the connectedness. Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'd like. Thank you for sharing, all of you. And that's, I love that question. It's a very, can be a super personal question. But my goal, I'm going to read a poem here because I love poetry. Is what I hope for today, maybe this season, maybe for the rest of your life, is that happiness can be around you, that you can engage and be present with happiness. But your happiness, or more importantly, your lack of happiness, does not get to dictate your worth or your value. That you are connected to some amazing, beautiful things that are all around you, that are in you, that are you. And the more that we can prompt ourselves, remind ourselves, and do the work to awaken that connectedness, to move towards that connectedness, for me is what brings joy, brings immense, immense joy. So as I read this, this is a poem called Love After Love by Derek Walcott. I'm going to invite you, however you feel connected, like some of you, Dana, you stole my thunder, right? Like one thing I do, I also do this all the time, I put my hand on my chest. In my old charismatic days, right, when we'd sing songs, people would stand up and wave their hands, right? And you know, either you did something right or you did something wrong as a parent. When our kids were like younger and they didn't know, they weren't raised in charismatic kind of thing, and people be waving their hands and my kids were in the back row like mocking and they're like, woohoo! I'm like, these kids are awesome, right? Those are awesome kids, right? Because it's, what I'm trying to say is there's things that we might do with our body that makes us feel connected to something larger. If that's raising your hands, if that's getting a hug, if that's going for a run, if that's going into Jay Cook, right, and smelling the cedar trees, if that's touching the earth, or if it's putting a hand on your heart. However you feel connected, right? As I read this poem, and I'm going to pray, however you find a way to feel connected. If you're here with someone you love, and they have given you consent to, like, hold their hand, put their arm around them, you can do that as well. Consent is the key element here, right? That's also for all the introverts, like, what kind of church are we doing right here, right? But however you feel connected, I'm going to encourage you to do that. If you want to close your eyes, you want to stand up, if you want to leave, however you feel connected, you can do it. I'm going to read this poem, and then I'll pray, and then we'll be done. Love After Love by Derek Walcott. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back to your heart, to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit and feast on your life. So God, we thank you for the wisdom and the prompting and the beauty and the invitation to abide, to be in attunement, to be in alignment with the kingdom of God, with love, with ultimate reality. And that we're connected to you and with you. That it's not an invitation to avoid pain. It's not a secret to sidestep broken hearts or disappointments. It does not escape us from resentments or even shame at times. But you promise that you are with us. And so I pray for those of us who feel not as connected, maybe with ourselves, and even what this poem says, that you greet the stranger that has loved you through all those horrible, hard times, that we can sit with ourselves and dine and enjoy. So God, we give us what we need to feel connected, to be connected, to experience a joy that transcends. And God, we trust that you are not only good, but you're enough. And all the things that we feel we need to have in surplus or in abundance in order to be okay, we can recognize in this breath, in this body, in this space, that you're enough and we're enough for you. And we love you. Amen. All right, friends. Well, thank you for being a part. And it is one of my favorite parts of being a pastor is when I get to hear kids run up the stairs and be loud and a parent's like, stop it. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, friends.